Good morning and welcome to worship here with Joy Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Ryan Jerome, and together with Pastor Rod Hank, we welcome you to this worship service, and we thank you for your presence here this morning. We just a few announcements to lift up and bring to your attention today. One is that Monday, October 19th, we will be having a seminar class on solutions to pandemic fatigue. And this is held by our care coordinators. The class begins at 7 o'clock, and it's all about focusing on, like, what are some ways that we can really kind of help this sense of fatigue that we are feeling right now. This just overall sense of tiredness that seems to be pervading in our lives. So you want to make sure that you get registered. Email our care coordinator, Lois Tan, and you can also access the video through Zoom on the e-news. This is a class that we're limiting to about 12 people, and if we do have more interest in that, we will offer more classes in the future. But we do want to open it to just 12 so that we can allow for good conversation and for free-flowing conversation about some of the things that we're dealing with currently. We do have confirmation weekend is fast approaching. The affirmation and baptism for our confirmation students who actually gave their faith statements last spring. Saturday, October 24th, we will have two services for the confirmands and their families. It will be at 4 o'clock and 5:30. We do are only opening these services for the confirmation students and their families, however. So be sure, if you have a confirmation student, be sure to get registered for one of those times on that Saturday. And then on Sunday, October 25th, which is also Reformation Sunday, we will have the affirmation of baptism service recorded and incorporated into our morning worship at both the 8 a.m. and 10:30 service. So that way our whole congregation can join in the celebration for our young adults. If you missed the big reveal for our upcoming Christmas musical and would like a copy of the preview rehearsal, please contact Linda. The musical is open to all K through 5 fifth grade students, and there are assistant director positions also available for our 6th through 12th grade students. All Saints Day is also fast approaching, and we are asking that anyone who has lost a loved one this year and who would like to have them recognized on All Saints Day, please send that information to Linda. Previous weeks we had said to send it to the office, but Linda is the one who's taking care of it. And so please send any information you'd like to include to Linda so that we can be sure to remember them and to celebrate their lives on All Saints Day. And the last announcement that I have is more of a personal announcement. My wife, Lauren, and I are excited to share with all of you that we are expecting our second child at the end of March or beginning of April. And so we wanted to share that news with you and to rejoice with all of you at this exciting time in our lives. We also would certainly ask for your prayers as we prepare for another big transition in our lives. And we know that Joy is just going to be such a great family for our growing family. And so we're thankful to be here. And once again, we certainly thank you for your prayers in this time. That's all the announcements I have for you today. And so at this time, let us begin, as we always do, with the sharing of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us greet one another with a sign of God's peace. We continue now with our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all of creation. Amen. So let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, taking a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble. Cast away our transgressions and turn us again to life in you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. People of God, God hears the cries of all who call out in need, and through his death and resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims. Our sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, let us live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen. We continue with our opening hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And let us pray together our prayer of the day. Sovereign God, raise your throne in our hearts. Created by you, let us live in your image. Created for you, let us act for your glory. Redeemed by you, let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We turn now to our lessons.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 through 7. The prophet announces that Cyrus, the Persian emperor, is the one the Lord has anointed to end Israel's exile. The Lord makes this choice so that the whole world will recognize this Lord as the only God. Persia had a god of light and a god of darkness. The Lord claims sovereignty over both light and darkness. The reading. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen. I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. The psalm is Psalm 96, verses 1 through 9 and 10 through 13. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day. Declare God's glory among the nations and God's wonders among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, more to be feared than all gods. As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols, but you, O Lord, have made the heavens. Majesty and magnificence are in your presence. Power and splendor are in your sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due the holy name. Bring offerings and enter the courts of the Lord. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth. Tell it among the nations, the Lord is King. The one who made the world so firm that it cannot be moved will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder and all that is in it. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood shout for joy at your coming, O Lord, for you come to judge the earth. You will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with your truth. Second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Most likely this letter is the first written by Paul. Paul gives pastoral encouragement and reassurances to new Christians living in an antagonistic environment. Their commitment of faith, love, and hope makes them a model for other new Christian communities. The reading. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. To the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that you became an example to all the believers of Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming.
Shall be ours forever. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for that tax." And they brought him a denarius. He said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of our Lord. We'll continue our worship this morning with our children's sermon.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Hey, Ron, your coffee's ready.
Oh boy. Coffee's ready, coffee's ready. So excited. Here we go. Where'd you put it? Where is it? Over there.
It's on the table.
All right. Thank you, Janet.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it very much. Let me see. Oh, great. Oh, coffee, so good. Let's try it. Oh, thank you, Janet. That's delicious coffee. Oh, good morning, everybody. Hey, what is that? What is that? Hey, I did not put that there. Holy cow, I found a $20 bill. I've got a 20. Hey. All right, look at this. I'm so excited. Oh my goodness. What could I buy with that $20? I could get a pony. No, probably not, but I could pay for part of a pony. How about a drone? Oh my goodness. Wouldn't that be cool to have a drone and,
or, hey, Ron, or, that's my $20 bill.
What?
That's my $20 bill.
It doesn't look like your $20 bill.
No, I left it there. I left it in the bowl on the table. I just was emptying my pockets, and I left it there.
No, I don't think it is yours. I mean, I'm looking at this, and that is definitely not your picture on that $20 bill. And your name is not on that $20 bill. This is my $20 bill. Sorry.
Well, nobody's. I mean.
Listen, Janet. I read this story in the Bible, and Jesus said, when people asked if they should pay taxes or not, Jesus said, "Well, whose picture is on there?" And they said Caesar's. And then Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God." But look, this is Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson is not around anymore. So I think that I can just keep this $20 bill.
Right.
So there.
I don't think that's what Jesus meant.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Well, what do you mean then?
Well, I think you have to think about doing the right thing, and that God has given us a lot of gifts. He's given us money and things, and we have to make good decisions about what we do with that, because it actually belongs to God first.
Oh.
And so, and you just have to think about doing the right thing.
The right thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the right thing. What's the right thing to do?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think even though you found that $20 bill, yeah, there's a couple of things. First of all, that $20 bill belongs to me. So even though you found it, you should probably, you know, give it back to the person who it belongs to. And then, but I can also do the right thing, and I can share my $20 bill with you.
What?
I would do that.
Can I get a pony?
Probably not a pony.
Can I get a drone?
Not a drone, but we could go to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream.
Oh, that is very nice. I would like to go to Dairy Queen. Thank you for helping me understand what Jesus was teaching us to do with this money. So let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for sending Jesus, who taught us that we should give to you what belongs to you. And that's pretty much everything in our lives. So help us to be smart, help us to be wise, help us to make good decisions, and help us to do the right thing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
Amen.
All right.
All right, let's go to Dairy Queen.
Awesome. Let's go. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I was talking to my pastor buddy, Russ, who is a pastor in Charles City, Chucktown, Iowa. This past week, I was talking to him, and he told me a story that I thought would be good to share today. He had a call from a friend of his named Bill from Wisconsin, and Bill said to Pastor Russ, "We watch your service every week, and I have to tell you, your jokes are pathetic." Now, anyone who knows Russ knows his jokes have been, currently are, and always will be absolutely pathetic. It's the way he likes them. They are punny, silly, and guaranteed to make you groan. "Well, Bill," Russ said, "do you have any better jokes for me?" "Sure," Bill said. Then he told him this joke. A little boy went up to his grandfather and said, "Grandpa, talk like a frog." But Grandpa was not interested, and he said, "No." So the boy starts to follow him all around the house, and he keeps asking him over and over again, "Grandpa, talk like a frog. Talk like a frog, Grandpa. Come on, Grandpa, talk like a frog." Finally, Grandpa stops, looks at the boy, and says, "What's with you today? Why are you bugging me so much? Why in the world do you want me to talk like a frog?" The little boy looked at him and said, "Because Grandma said that when you croak, we all can go to Disney World." The joke, of course, is questionable because the little boy's motives are questionable. And it seems like a direct request at first. Grandpa acts silly, but it's not, right? The boy has ulterior motives. Does anyone know the Latin phrase "timeo Danaos et dona ferentes"? Well, maybe my Latin isn't so good, but the way we say it in English is, "Beware of Greeks bearing gifts." And as you know, it's the whole Trojan War thing, the story written down by Virgil 20 or 30 years before Jesus was born. And it goes like this, that there was this long war going on between the Greeks and the Trojans. After 10 years of fighting, the Greeks apparently decided that it was time to call it quits and to go home. But as a parting gift, they left a huge wooden horse outside the city walls of Troy. Then they loaded up their armies on the ships and seemed to sail off into the sunset. When the Trojans saw this horse, they thought it was like they had surrendered and left a gift for them. So they pulled the horse inside their city gates. And then a few select warriors at night who were hiding inside the horse came out of the horse, and they went and unlocked the city gates, and the Greek ships returned very quickly, and they conquered the city of Troy. Now, we don't know. I don't know if this is a real story or a myth. Nobody knows. But there seems to be some truth that there was a subterfuge that was used by the Greeks to win the war. In other words, it was a trap. As you probably already know, the gospel lesson we have today is a trap. It says so right in the lesson, so there's absolutely no doubt about it. And I quote, "The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said." But not alone. They didn't go alone. They formed this strange alliance with the Herodians, who were supporters of the Herods, the puppet kings of Israel during the Roman occupation. The Herodians wanted to gain power and privilege through the king of Israel, the Herods. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were looking for a different kind of king, the Messiah, the son of David, not just a local king who could grant them favors, but a religious and political leader who would sweep in and restore the nation of Israel to all its glory. At any rate, these two groups didn't usually get along, certainly did not cooperate, but they did on this day. That should be a red flag to us. The first warning that this might be a trap. Then it's how they talk to Jesus. They are so duplicitous, two-faced, grossly sicky sweet. When they speak to Jesus, they say, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." Come on. They have been publicly resisting and tormenting and questioning Jesus every turn, every step that he made. They were right there in his face. They don't think he's a great teacher centered in the truth. They think that he's a heretic, an imposter who speaks with undeserved authority. "Where does your authority come from?" they asked him, and who threatens to destroy their way of life. The way they're talking to Jesus should be the second red flag to us. Then they say, "We know, teacher, that you show no deference. You show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality." It's absolutely true. He's not influenced by the people around him. But when they say it, it sounds dirty, slimy, like, you know, the other shoe's about to drop. And you know, you can tell when somebody is building you up just so they can tear you down. So could Jesus. And that's the last red flag. Something bad is coming. They have an ulterior motive, an impending sense of doom. Then they spring the trap. "Tell us, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" And when they say lawful, they mean, is it right? Is it allowed? Is it okay? And see, this is the trap. If Jesus says, no, don't pay taxes, then he's guilty of sedition against the state. If he says, yes, pay your taxes, then all the people are going to be angry with him because they hate Rome so much and they hate the occupation of their nation and they don't want to pay taxes to Rome. No new taxes. But brothers and sisters in Christ, hear the good news. Jesus will not be so easily fooled. Jesus is not dumb. You can quote me on that. That Pastor Rod said, the Son of God is not dumb. He will not be trapped by the Pharisees and the Herodians. Because this confrontation is happening, do you know when? During what we call Holy Week. This happens after Jesus and his disciples have triumphantly entered Jerusalem. You know, Palm Sunday event. And by the end of this week, Jesus will be crucified, dead on the cross. And do you know why they killed Jesus by the end of this week? Because on the one hand, the political religious leaders made charges against him They had him arrested for sedition, for conspiring against the state. And because the people, on the other hand, who had a choice to set him free, chose not to. Instead, they cried out with a loud voice as one, "Crucify him." So what I'm saying is, the trap for this day is completely irrelevant to Jesus. He has nothing to gain to say to the people that they should pay taxes to the state, because very soon the state, in a matter of days, will condemn him to death. He has nothing to gain by saying the people shouldn't pay their taxes, because by the end of this week, in a matter of days, they will be venomously crying out against him, asking for his death. And both sides of this argument, both sides will hate him. Both sides will turn against him. Both sides will kill him. So he won't be trapped today by an irrelevant question. He didn't come to answer this kind of question about daily life to appease the government or to give the people fuel to fight and argue. He was focused on the cross. He was headed toward his death. He was in the process of saving not a specific government or anyone's specific opinion or agenda. He didn't care about any of that. He was on his way to save the world. He was on his way to bring light into the darkness, hope to the hopeless, life to the dead. He had a mission. He was focused. He was in the process of fulfilling what God had called him to do and who God had called him to be. And in the meantime, we all were in the process of killing him. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4:14, Paul writes, "We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." So this is what this all means to me. What we believe, what we choose, what we decide should not be determined by the winds of doctrines or people's tricks or by their deceitful scheming. And as you all know, as well as I do, there's a lot of that going on right now. And I'm sorry, but I feel like I need to say out loud, current culture, current politics, current crises should not be setting our moral compass for us. We are the people of God. We have a mission, an assignment in this world given to us by God. Therefore, God's will should be our driving force. God's will should be informing our thoughts, our choices, our decisions over and above any other influence. And that's what it means to be a follower of Christ. That's what it means to be a servant of God. But with that said, please note that Jesus did not tell the Pharisees or the Herodians or the people who had gathered to listen to him. He didn't tell any of them what to think or what to do or how to act. He told them to discern for themselves what belongs to Caesar and what belongs to God. He said, figure it out. He told them to discern what they should do based on what they sincerely believed. And that's the real challenge, people of God. The real challenge is discerning from God's word and by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us what God is calling us to do. The real challenge is to set aside the winds of doctrine, the tricks of people, the deceitful schemes, everything that everyone else is telling us to believe. The real challenge is to discern for ourselves how we can serve, how we can sacrifice, how we can love each other in the name of Jesus Christ. Not because the world is telling us that it's the right thing to do, but because God is telling us it's the right thing to do. The real challenge is to be like Christ, who was on his way, who didn't lose sight, who didn't get trapped. But instead, he was literally on his way to die. For us, for the world, for the life of everyone and everything, to bring life and salvation to light. He was on his way, and all the people could do when they had the Savior right there with them. All the people could do was attempt to trap him and fight about paying taxes. Surely you can see they missed the point. But we know what the point is, right? I mean, we're different. It's 2,000 years later. We've seen the whole Christ event unfold before us. We know what the point is. We know what God expects of us. We know what Jesus taught us. We have all of this. We know what it means to serve and to follow Christ all the way to the cross. It means that this election process is not supposed to turn us into jerks. That followers of Christ do not have permission to dismiss or degrade or diminish half the population because you do not agree with who they are or what they believe. We do not have permission to speak vile and hateful words that are clearly against the call of Christ. And it means the coronavirus is not supposed to turn us into jerks. It's not supposed to have that kind of power over our lives. It's not an excuse to be hateful or hurtful to other people for whom Jesus died. Wearing a mask, social distancing, all this stuff is not supposed to turn us into horrible people. Protesters, police officers, hate, anger, frustration, these are not excuses to be distracted from who we are centered in the good news of Jesus Christ. We've been called to bring something different into this world.
We've been called to be more.
We've been called to love more.
We've been called to become the people of God who serve each other all the way to the cross.
And by the strength of God, we will not be distracted from our call. And if that doesn't sound right to us, to you, or to me, then quite honestly, we may have to stop. We may need to reevaluate who we say that we are, who we claim to be, and what we say we believe, and how we choose to live. Because no matter what happens in this tired old world, and I need to remind you that the Bible says very clearly in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is nothing new under the sun, so whatever happens should never have the power, should not be allowed to distract us from moving forward in our mission. Just like Jesus refused to get trapped in his holy name, we should refuse to get trapped as well. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn of the day.
Rise to thee.
together with the church on earth, let us confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So with all the people of God, let us pray for the world, for the church, and for all those who are in need. God of abundant love, all that we have and all that we are comes from your gracious hand. Teach us to be mindful of your generosity towards us, that we may be good and faithful and wise stewards of all you have entrusted to us, that we may live and grow in love with you and with one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for the gift of each day, and for the changing seasons, for fall colors and crisp air, for plentiful harvest and food to sustain life. We praise you, O God. We ask that you be with those affected by natural disasters, like floods and hurricanes and fires. We pray for those especially at Sky Ranch who are working so diligently to protect this beloved camp. Keep all who are there and combating the fires safe in this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we draw closer to the elections in our country, remind us of our calling to be people of compassion and kindness, gentleness and faithfulness. Remind us that we are called to be your people, reflecting your goodness. May your church be a presence of peace and assurance of your promise to bring about your kingdom, when all divisions will cease. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are hurting and in need of your loving care this day. We continue to pray for all affected by COVID-19. And for the health professionals who are working tirelessly to provide such needed care to all. We pray for those in this community who we know are in need of your care. For Katie Fox Turner, Tony Pacello, Karen Lehrman, Virgil Hendrickson, Carol Stuckey, Lacey Williams, and all those whom we name now in our hearts. We also pray for comfort and peace for the Rowe family as they mourn the loss of Mary Rhodes, and for the Budnick family as they grieve the death of Stephanie Lederhos. Surround them in your eternal love that they may find peace and assurance of your eternal life that you promised to all the baptized. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we lift these prayers and the prayers of our hearts to you. Hear us, O God, for you are merciful and your love is unending. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with our offertory time. And over the past few weeks, we've been encouraging you to think about the many gifts that we have been given, the many things that God has blessed our lives with. During this time, let us think about the stewards God is calling us to be, the ways in which God is calling us to share what we have been entrusted with, and what now we have to offer in return to God. brothers and sisters, we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and blessed it and gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray together as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, this is the body of Christ given for you. Beloved, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our closing hymn. Go in peace, knowing that Christ goes with us. Thanks be to God.